Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you would be with me, Lord, as I am teaching and leading these ladies about what it means to be a Proverbs 31 woman, Lord. I pray that you would join us this morning, Lord. Give me your wisdom, your grace, and your understanding, Lord, as we meet this morning, Lord. We pray all these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. For those of you that might not know me, I'm Melissa Abernethy. My husband, Dave, is one of the pastors here at Mount Free Church. And Jolene asked if I would share this morning at our Titus 2 morning for the Proverbs 31 woman. And so I happily said yes. And then I asked her what the verse that I was going to be talking about. And she told me Proverbs 31:19, which says, "She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle." And then I quickly realized I might be in trouble because although I can sew a button and sew ribbon on Mia's pointe shoes, and on a really good day I can do a little fancy cross stitch, I'm definitely not a sewer or a seamstress or anything close to that. And I didn't know what a distaff was, but luckily being married to a pastor, I have all the resources, books, and him at my disposal. So I feel prepared for today, so... but earlier in verse 13, it mentions spinning flax and wool, and the distaff is a tool that was used to hold unspun fibers, and the spindle is where the material is stretched and rotated into thread. And according to Old Testament scholar Trimper Longman, the purpose of the distaff is to take a piece of wool and produce spools of neatly wound yarn, making the wool usable for creating coverings and clothing for one's family. So imagine, you know, when you walk into Joann's and you see all those rows and rows of yarn, how much they would have had to do, right, to do that. So it was definitely the Proverbs 31 woman using her hands. So the process of making this yarn begins by using one's hand to hold the distaff where the wool is attached. So the distaff is up at the top. And then they pull a section of the wool out with the other hand. And then each section of the wool must be carefully twisted and pulled down to attach it to the spindle, which allows the weight of the spindle to pull the fibers out of the compacted wool. And then the fibers begin to spin around the spindle. And during this process, the distaff must be held with one hand and the other hand must keep the fibers from tangling. So I don't know about you, but like when I blow dry my hair in the morning, like my arms get tired. And so like I was trying to imagine like doing this all the time. And that's what this Proverbs 31 woman did. She was very competent about at many levels of doing this. She could spin the thread from the raw materials. She could use a spinning wheel and the loom to make the cloth. She did all this work herself. She would show others how to do it and then also teach them how to do it. So then I started thinking about, well, what does that mean for us? I don't sew. I don't make my own clothes. I don't crochet or knit. My mother-in-law tried to teach me, and although it was fun, I made about like this much of a blanket. It's not something I do every day. I remember early on in my pregnancy with Caleb thinking like maybe I could make some of his clothes to help cut down on expenses. But then I found out like it's expensive to buy cloth and it takes time. And on top of that, I don't own a distaff or a spindle. Although I do have a sewing machine, it sits in a box in my garage in case I need it someday. So I still think, though, that we can apply what's happening here to the jobs and tasks that we do accomplish every day. So to complete the task of making sure every piece of wool becomes a spool of yarn would take time, devotion, attention, and thoughtfulness. And both hands were needed to do this in full concentration. Once completed, then the Proverbs 31 woman was able to accomplish her next task, mentioned in verse 20. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. And really, that's the whole idea of this, is that the Proverbs 31 woman was able to, spin this yarn so that she was prepared. She would have the money that she needed, as well as being able to take care of her family. And so whether God's calling you to sew, because I know some of you do it very, very well, or take care of your house or to work outside the home, he wants you to give it your full devotion and attention. In today's world, it's very easy or tempting to want to multitask, but often multitasking, at least for me as I'm getting older, means I'm trying to get more things done quicker, but usually less productive or successful if I would have just focused on one task at a time. Colossians 3:23-24 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. God wants us to work hard and use our hands." In Psalm 90, 17, it says, "Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. And even when we're tired or weary or the task seems too hard, God will help us. Philippians 4, 13 says, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Maybe you're at a time in your life and you're not sure what your work is or whether it's the right place to be. God will help you figure it out. Proverbs 16:3 says, "Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established." And this verse of Proverbs 31:19, she puts her hands to the staff and her hands hold the spindle. That's also referencing the verse that we worked on, or you guys worked on a couple months ago, which is Proverbs 31:15, about hard work and productivity, which says, "She rises while it's yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens." And I just do want to put a little, little thing in here to say, I do not claim to be an expert on this by any means. Just making the French toast bake for this morning and trying to get coffee ready by 9 o'clock, I was like, oh, I'm already past the time. But I think it's something that we can all work on to just become the woman that God wants us to be. Sandra Lee, who's an author for Christian Parenting, shared this acronym SPINDLE, so thanks Proverbs 31:19 about the spindle, right, to show how we might model our lives after the virtuous woman. And so I'm sharing the concept of each letter in the acronym, but I've applied the application to fit all women, not just mothers. And so I hope that you'll find that this is helpful. You have a handout there, so if you want to write down notes or if you want to save it for later. So S stands for servant-minded. So we must serve the Lord until he calls us home, as a wife, as a mother, and as a daughter of God. Deuteronomy 10:12 says, "To serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." And later in Deuteronomy 11:13, it says, "And if you will indeed obey my commandments that I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, he will give the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the later rain, that you may gather in your grain and your wine and your oil. And he will give grass in your fields for your livestock, and you shall eat it and be full." So S is for servant-minded. So thinking about how we can serve the Lord and how that might look in our families and outside our homes, whether that's taking care of your husband or children, whether that's taking care of extended family members, your parents, nieces and nephews, or whether that might be taking care of friends and neighbors or people in your community. The P stands for prayer warrior. We need to pray without ceasing for our husbands and children, as well as our friends and coworkers, family members, neighbors, list of five, so that when they face temptation, that they will flee, that they will see what God sees as good, and what God sees as evil, evil. And we want to pray that they would love God's word and seek him and want him to be their Lord and Savior of their life. So P is for prayer warrior. And I'm so thankful that that we can pray for our kids and our husbands and our extended family and our friends, because so many of them are lost. And even if they do know the Lord, I was thinking about last weekend in Pastor Dave's sermon when he talked about how we need to keep reminding ourselves of the gospel and how much God loves us and how much he wants us to do to follow his will and to walk in his ways. The next letter is I, and it's for intentional instruction. And this could be for your child or niece or nephew, or it could be for a new believer or neighbor. And in Proverbs 31:26, it says, "She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue." And here we notice that teaching isn't just for pastors or seminary professors or missionaries. It's for all of us, and in a special way for us women. There are 8 billion people on this planet, and a full 2/3 of them are women and children. And so no one has better access to the minds and hearts of these precious people than women like us, especially as it relates to children. And it's no small thing to take responsibility to form those who will, in a matter of a few short years, transform the world through Christ. So we really need to take this role seriously. So I is for intentional instruction. So whether that's taking care of your kids at home or being a mother or sister-like figure to the kids or young believers at our church, this is a way that we can do that. N stands for the nevers. And Ephesians 29 says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." So we should never complain, never be critical, never gossip, never give up on doing good, never give up on our children or lost friends, to keep praying that God softens their hearts and draws them to himself. I don't know about you, but these can be temptations for me, right? And so we can praise God that Philippians 1:6 tells us that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. Our triune God will never give up on us. And so this ought to give us the courage to pursue the nevers in these texts. So, and then D stands for discipline. And this is about formative and corrective discipline for our children, but also for pursuing formative and corrective discipline in our own lives. And if you need a great resource along these lines, I've really appreciated reading the book that April's leading at our church right now, which is Joyful Surrender, The 7 Disciplines for the Believer's Life by Elizabeth Elliot. And in there, she talks about that we need to discipline our mind, our body, our possessions, our time, and our feelings. We need to trust God and not fear anything or anyone but him. And we need to let God have control over everything in our lives, all the areas, not just the ones that are easy to let go of. And we also need to not forget that in the Great Commission, Jesus calls us as disciples to observe everything as he's commanded us. Matthew 28:19. And until he comes to be with us, or we go to be with him, our pursuit of this aim will be imperfect. But he mercifully reminds us in the next verse, Matthew 28:20, that behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. So D is for discipline. And I think that it's really important, like I said, for, you know, whether you're helping your own children or you're helping yourself or you're helping others, that we help to instill this line of discipline for our own lives as well. The next letter is L for love. And in Matthew 22, verses 37 to 39, it says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and that you should love your neighbor as yourself." And I really appreciate Jesus' words here, because what he's saying, in essence, is, hey, you know what? You love, you know, the way that you love and you care for and you pay attention and you nurture yourself. Okay, now let's do that for others. And it's amazing to think, left to our own selves, at least for me, like what profound failures we are at loving other people, right? It's so easy to say that we love them, but to actually carry it out is really, really hard. In case you doubt this, you know, if you think of the wedding passage, 1 Corinthians 13, right, where love is patient, love is kind, love is rude, try putting your own name in this spot, right? So if I say, Melissa's patient, sometimes. Melissa's kind, I try to be most of the time. Melissa's not rude. Melissa does not demand her own way. You get the idea, right? This chapter of the Bible is so devastating to the person taking it seriously. It's surprising we hear it read so often at weddings. A much more encouraging portion of scripture on these lines is found in 1 John 4. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, then we ought to love one another. We love because he first loved us." So L is for love. And finally, the E in spindle is expect good. First Chronicles 16:11 says, "Seek the Lord, seek his strength, seek his presence continually." We're to trust the Lord, right? And Psalm 23:6 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Have you ever stopped to consider how vivid that final verse in Psalm 23 is? Goodness and mercy shall follow me, right? Now, really, they're chasing David, but all of his life. And then he goes to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's amazing. So how can we apply these to our lives today to be like this Proverbs 31 woman who's persistent and resourceful? In God's providence, we all find ourselves in different circumstances at home and within our families. These days, I work as a first grade teacher at Hilltop Primary just down the road, as well as part-time for a nonprofit organization called Achieving Dreams, which gives grants to kids and families for academic opportunities, sports endeavors, as well as local church ministries and missionary endeavors. The key for me in each of these fields of work is that while I certainly do want to do it with excellence, more importantly, I do what I do to serve my family and ultimately for the glory of God. I don't think of myself as much as building a career as much as being a helper to those in my home. I've taken great encouragement over the years from verses 15 and 16 in the description of the Proverbs 31 woman, which says, "She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruits of her hand, she plants a vineyard." My work as a first grade teacher and for Achieving Dreams, among other things, and tutoring, has provided medical insurance for my family, as well as contributed towards tuition for Caleb's studies at Creighton, as well as underwriting the expenses for Mia's dance and many other school activities. Over the years, persistence and resourcefulness has looked a lot of different ways for me and how I can best meet the needs of my family and be able to share resources with others. The less money that I would spend meant the more money that we could use or that we could save to use to bless others, whether it was supporting missionaries, sponsoring a child, prayerfully and financially supporting endeavors that came up at church. When Dave and I were first married, we welcomed furniture people gave us as they bought new furniture for their own homes. We were happy to take the leftovers that would otherwise be thrown away from church or from a get-together. I shopped garage sales for Christmas trees and ornaments, as well as button-down shirts for Dave to wear during his seminary days. And once the kids came, we loved park play dates the best because they were free. And I often helped plan and set up the ECFE kid stuff sale so that I would get to shop early for the best deals. Remember, Victoria? I especially loved the fancy dresses that I could find for Mia, which she loved when she was young, not so much these days. I helped organize babysitting co-ops where we would watch each other's kids so that we didn't have to pay for a sitter. But as the kids got older and it was harder to find garage sales with clothes their sizes and what they were wanting, I had to learn a new way to be resourceful. So I became really good at couponing and watching sales and stacking coupons with the sales. It was also a great chance to instruct our kids on saving their money for things they really wanted and getting them to help around the house to earn money for those things. These days, meal planning, putting food in the crock pot and freezer meals allows us to stretch our money further. It makes eating together as a family happen more often on those busy days after both of us working full time and kids having sports activities and homework. Some of my other favorite ways to be resourceful, borrowing books from the library or using the Libby app on my phone, shopping at Goodwill and thrift stores to find new fun things, learning from others, learning how to quilt and cook a whole chicken, play the piano, just to get ideas of how to do these things, not becoming proficient by any means. Learning to barter and trade services, taking what you do well and trading it for something that you need. I've tutored students of parents who've taught my kids private lessons, soccer drills, and dance. I've watched friends' kids, and they've helped us put in a dishwasher. These days, I use the Target pickup service to help me stay on budget. I can compare costs easily by looking at other places online. I can check my pantry and fridge so that I only buy what we need and don't get tempted to buy the things that we don't, like the things right on the end cap that you're like, oh, it's such a good deal. Well, I don't need that, right? So it's not a good deal if I buy it, right? And then in addition to being resourceful for money with our money, also learning how to be resourceful with time. When my kids were little, praying while I was nursing or reading my Bible when they napped was the only time that sometimes these things got done. And it was really tempted to like want to take a nap or, you know, doze off. But I found that those were the times that God gave me to do those things. These days, it means getting up before everyone else in the house, making a good cup of coffee and being in God's word and praying before everyone and everything gets going. I find that it's a great way to start my day. When thinking about my nights and weekends, it can be so tempting to just want to do nothing. I'm sure you all feel that, you know, you've already worked your whole day, whether you're working at home taking care of your kids or you're working at a job somewhere else. You've had a long day. Shouldn't this time just be for me? Watching TV, reading a book, laying on the couch, surfing the web, whatever. It can be easy to be slothful. And I'm not saying I don't ever do it, but I feel best when I remind myself to think how I can use this time to best meet the needs of my family and to become the best version that God wants me to be. So that might mean throwing in an extra load of laundry so Mia has her red tank top the next day for dance, reading the next chapter in a book about prayer, or praying for someone who has asked for additional strength and support from the Lord. Also, learning how to prioritize my time and activities. I've had to learn there's so many things that people want you to do, think are good for you. Figuring out what is best, right? So I found that asking God for his strength to do everything that needs to get done, wisdom to know the order in which to do it, and whether or not to say yes or no or not now when asked to do the next thing. Over the years, I've learned to relish the time with other believers, worshiping with them on Sunday mornings, fellowshipping with them after church or during small group, equipping them, serving them, meeting with them during small group time, and teaching and being with our youngest ones during Sunday school time and being in the nursery. However, all of these good works that we should do apart from faith are dead. God tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of work, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So these good works that God's prepared for us, we should do. We are saved by grace through faith in Christ, apart from works, therefore no boasting. And we're saved by grace through faith in Christ, for good works, therefore no coasting. Finally, I'm reminded in 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." How wonderful it is to know that all the work we do for the Lord and for our families is not in vain. It is good and pleasing to God. So let's pray, and then we can talk about these things. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your goodness and mercy, Lord. Thank you that you chase after us, Lord, and that you love us, and that we can joyfully serve you and our families, Lord. And so, Lord, I just pray that over these next minutes together, Lord, that you would guide our conversations, Lord. Help us to share how we are like the Proverbs 31 woman, share ideas and ways that we can be resourceful, Lord, and give us time to pray, Lord, that we can help those who may be struggling in this area or just want to become better versions of ourselves for you, Lord. We pray this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.